We are so excited to be here, and from walking onto the property yesterday until this morning, I commend you for being honoring people. Just being honoring people, mm-hmm. and supporting and loving the authority and the pastors that God has given you. Such a gift. A little bit. As soon as we get the microphone fixed.
Well, it's a joy to be with you. I love to worship the Lord, don't you?
Yeah.
There's nothing like it to be released in freedom to worship the Savior and Lord that we love. And we're honored to be here on a day that you are honoring two great couples. And I want to say that Robin and I, we've had a long journey with your pastors, and you really have gifts that God has given you. And they're people of excellence. They're people of integrity. And we consider it an honor to be able to be here today to cheer them on and to cheer you on. And just a little over a month ago, Robin and I had the privilege of meeting with your leadership team for a leaders retreat. And we were focusing on Ted Bolsinger's book, Canoeing the Mountains. He's a Christian leader, and he talks about the importance of making adjustments on our journey. And so we have decided today we're going to pick up a little bit with that, and we're going to talk about this title, Man the Oars. If you're going to canoe the mountains, you need to man the oars. We're going to talk about this a little bit out of a scripture that I think will be an encouragement to all of us here today, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read the first two verses out of the ESV version. It says this: "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." I want you to know that God knows all of us individually. I mean, the power of God's unique creation is seen on every one of our imprints. They're all unique. Yep. No two alike. Amen. Our DNA is unique to us. And God loves each of us individually, and he knows our pasts. And in spite of our pasts, he has a word over your life, and that is faithful.
Yes.
Faithful. Oars. Think about this. An oar, and the picture is up there, is this long paddle. It's got a wide blade on the bottom that cuts through the waters and propels a boat forward. I love the word of the Lord that came forth today. Hey, saints of God, I want to tell you that the Lord has this in mind for his church, that we are onward Christian soldiers. We are in forward advancement. I know the last 18 months has been a challenge for the church, and we've been cheering pastors and leaders in the church forward. But I want to tell you something. What the enemy intended to kind of shut up and silence the church, what we are seeing is a purifying and a persevering church that is coming out of a pandemic saying, "God, we take the mantle for this hour, and we will march forward for your glory." Now, ladies, in the title, Man the Oars, don't check out on me.
Amen.
Man is not a noun meaning the male gender, okay? Man the Oars is a verb, and it means to work at, to run, and to operate. Man the Oars is about putting some power on that oar and making things happen. I want you to know that God wants to use you as a mouthpiece and as an instrument to make things happen in this world that we're living. Hallelujah. You know, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, and a lot of people give the Corinthians a bad rap, and I want you to know, as we travel around from church to church, I see the Corinthians in a lot of us. Pride, I have to deal with pride in my own life. But I want to say something. In this particular chapter of Corinthians, I hear the Apostle Paul speaking a message to us, and he's saying this: everyone serve somewhere. Everyone serve somewhere. He's saying to all of us that as stewards, we're to be faithful. Faithful not in warming a pew, but faithful in stewarding what God's put before us to do. In other words, get in the game. Everyone serve somewhere. Now, yesterday, you know, Robin and I were here for the lunch, and what a privilege to watch you love on your pastors. I want to say this to you. You may think that a gift you give them is the best demonstration of your love. But I want to say this. We are pastors. We can tell you the most satisfying things we've seen is when God transforms a life and you see that life get busy serving for Jesus. Amen. That's what's exciting. So we're going to talk about three calls from God's word today. The first one is commit to your purpose. Commit to your purpose. Now, chapters later, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you find the Apostle Paul talking about the church and relating that to a body that is made up of many parts, and all of those parts have a unique function, and all of those parts working together is this one beautiful thing that begins to happen. And so we describe that for the church. Matter of fact, Rick Renner, in his book Sparkling Gems in the Greek, talks about the word servant in verse 1. Servant is the word huperitas, and it is a reference to low-class criminals or slaves who are chained to the galley of a ship to row. Now, I know you look beautiful today. And your pastors look beautiful today. And you may say, you know, well, that's kind of insulting to kind of call us low-class people. Criminals. Criminals. Chained to the bottom of a ship. But see, what Paul wants to remind us is the one who gets the praise and the adoration and the glory is the one who redeemed us. Yes. From the bottom of the ship. The one who freed us from our shackles and chains. And so as servants of Christ, he's reminding us to keep in mind our position. And this group of rowers on the bottom of the ship became the engine. And day after day, they moved the oars to move the ship. And this is what I want you to know. Ships were not intended to stay in the harbor. They were intended to get out to sea. You see, you can stay in a safe place today, or you can say, Lord, I'm willing to go to the sea for you. And get out of the comfort zone. Get out of the place of security. Ships were meant to go somewhere, and servants move ships.
Amen. When we talk about being committed to our purpose, one of the first things that I think about is we've all probably been at a place in our life where we just wanted God to just write it on the wall. You know what I mean? Just tell me. Just write it on the wall so I know what to do. And I think more that it's a process and it's a journey. And you know what else it is? One step of obedience after the other.
That's true.
That's what finding your purpose is all about. And we've reminisced a lot over these scriptures, but I think about purpose and I think about my own life. And I remember I was raised on a cattle ranch in South Dakota, and we had long country roads. And I remember walking those country roads, and I remember telling God, if you'll just show me what you want me to do, I want to do whatever you want me to do. And I remember growing up with that theme in my heart, wanting to know what his life purpose would be for me. Well, then the rubber started to meet the road, and I started to get pictures or inklings of what that would be. And I kind of put the brakes on. You know how he challenges us in new areas to do things we think are just really impossible? And, you know, this isn't just about young people realizing what they should do with their life. This is about all of us.
Right.
Finding our purpose, finding our place. And so in that journey, I went from a South Dakota cattle ranch girl, and I went to Bible school, and while I was there, I got introduced and exposed into the financial world and worked in a finance office in downtown Des Moines. But God was weaving everything together. It was one step of obedience after the other. And I remember when Bruce became available, and I always really thought he was a cool guy, but I thought, he is a pastor, and I am just not going to do that. I said in Bible school, I am never going to marry a pastor. You know what I mean? It's one step of obedience after another, and God didn't say, well, okay, Robin, then I'm just done with you. I'm moving on. You know, no. He just works on with us and in situations for us as we're finding our purpose for God. And so along with that, you know, we did go out on a date. I thought, well, I'm just going to go out on a date with him. Well, obviously, you know the rest of the story. I fell madly in love. But all the while, God was working in my heart. And I remember being at a Sunday school class at First Church of the Open Bible in Des Moines. And we were in the Family Life Center. It's their big gym. And I was sitting toward the back. And they were doing a video series. It was a gentleman who is very funny, you know, and then just kind of lands the word of God with conviction, whatever. So he's talking, and everybody in the class, they're all laughing and everything, and I am in the back row, and I am bawling. I mean, the tears are just streaming down my face because I was having that purpose moment with the Lord, where he's saying, this is what I'm calling you to do. This is your purpose. Are you going to obey or not? You're going to decide, and you have a choice. And I'm just bawling, and the Lord's taking me back to that road in South Dakota where I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. And he was taking me back, mm-hmm. And so I recommitted in the midst of the mascara mess and the tears in Sunday school that day, and I said, yes, God, I will do what you want me to do. So we got married, and then he started challenging me to rise in my leadership role, and I was never going to marry a pastor, and I married a pastor, and then I became a pastor. And, you know, it's crazy with God. Finding mm-hmm. your purpose in him is a wonderful, wild adventure, but you have to know what your purpose is. You have to know the place that God has for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you're 13 or you're 93. Mm-hmm. You have purpose. And he wants you to figure it out. And he's not going to play tricks, and he's not going to play hide and seek, but he is going to help you process. And you are going to have to take steps of obedience and say, yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do this. And you're going to walk with him with purpose. And he wants you to know what that purpose is. So the writing on the wall, it's great, but it doesn't always happen. What happens is obedience after obedience. And you grow in your faith, and you grow in your walk with the Lord, and you begin to fulfill your purpose. And now looking back, I have to say, I cannot imagine doing anything else. Anything else. You know, and I look at your pastors today, and I know they have a story of how God called them and their process. And I bet it was one step of obedience after another. Mm-hmm. I bet he didn't say, Pastor Harris, or Harris, be a pastor. It wasn't on the wall. No, he had to obey and grow, and that's the purpose for all of us. Ephesians 2:10, it's actually our daughter's life verse. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Listen to this. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's got your stamp a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 139:16 says, all the days ordained for me, all the days ordained for you were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God knew it all, and God knows it all for you. Mm-hmm. Before you were even created, he had your life plan and your life purpose. And if you're wondering, how do I even know how to do that? There are some really good practical steps to take. And the first one is, believe it. Believe that God has purpose for you.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, excuse me, I think about the story of Mary and her purpose to give birth to the Son of God. Whoa. I mean, I thought being a pastor was a crazy idea that God had for me. She was going to give birth to the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And I love this verse so much. It's really been just a theme for me in my life. But Luke 1:45 says this, blessed is she that has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Believe it. You'll be blessed if you believe that what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished, mm-hmm. and your purpose will go forward. Secondly, this is a must if you're going to know God's purpose. And that's it. You got to walk close with him. You can't just be way over here with him and he's way over there, and I know he's everywhere, but you know what I mean? You can't be at a distance with him and get connected and know what his purpose for you is. You have to walk close with him each and every day in prayer and the word. And I recall a statement that I heard a long time ago, but you can't recall scripture that you've never read. So get in the word. I mean, he's spoken to me over and over and over again about my purpose through reading the word of God. And then pray. Jeremiah 29. We always quote Jeremiah 29:11. And that isn't my favorite verse in the whole section. It's this, 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me,
yes.
and find me.
Yes.
When you seek me with all of your heart.
Amen.
I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So he's not going to play a game with you. If you just humble yourself and open your heart and say, God, what is my purpose? And maybe you've wondered, or maybe you're here this morning and you've just invited Christ to be your life leader. Say, God, my next step is I just want to be all in with you. Show me my purpose, and he will do that. Mm-hmm. He will do that. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. He'll perfect that which concerns me. And then just another side note, as you're searching out purpose for you, receive wise counsel. Be teachable and bring people alongside you that can help guide you in that purpose.
Here you go, sweetie.
Thank you.
Thanks to Rick. Wonderful. So we've been talking about servants of God, servants of Christ. But he also mentions another thing in reference to who we are. He says, you are also stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, I don't know how you view the Word of God. I've grown up with the Word of God. I grew up in a Sunday school class, listened to the stories from the Old Testament and the New. And I just marvel at what I read in the Word of God. I've read it from cover to cover many, many, many times, and I'm still learning. And there are still some things in the Word of God that I'm like, you know, Lord, I'd like to figure this out. The reason why he calls it the mysteries of God is he wants to keep our attention peaked. See, when the Word of God becomes, you know, passé, that's not a good place. The Word of God is fresh, it is active, it is alive. And we are the stewards of the mysteries of God. The NIV says the secret things of God. And God's plans and purposes are revealed to us in his word. And I want to say something, church. We were talking with pastors last night over dinner. And about a decade ago, Andy Stanley wrote a great book called Deep and Wide. And his observation of the church was this. The church is about an inch deep and a mile wide. And the pandemic has been a pruning process for the church. And I want to say, one thing I know about God is he wants his saints going deeper. Some people just get their toes in. You know, you see people test out the water at a pool and they just dip their toes in, and that's really all they're satisfied with. You know, they pray a sinner's prayer and they dip their toe in. I want you to know God wants you deeper than that. He has plans and purposes to take you deeper, and really, he's made you a steward of this book. This is our manual, and I take it very seriously. And so, what can we do to steward biblical truth in this crazy day? I want to say one thing. I think we can systematically teach the Word of God. This is lacking in many churches today. It's interesting, you can have your pet things. Matter of fact, I look back at the pastors that I grew up under, they kind of all had their favorites. But I want to say this to you, as a teacher and preacher of the Word of God, we are to expound systematically on everything there. Some of you may be like, you know, I learned early as a pastor, if you asked people, hey, we're about wrapping up this series, where would you like to go? They'd all shout Revelation. And I want to say this to you, there's more in the book than Revelation. I love Revelation, but I want to tell you this. You need a good systematic training of the Word of God all the way through. So I deliberated as a pastor and said, God, I'm going to look over my sermons for the last 3 years, and if I haven't taught on healing, I need to teach on healing. If I haven't taught on baptism, I need to teach again on baptism, because I want our people to be widely versed with the instructions from the manual God's put in front of us. And we can initiate that on a daily basis in our own lives and then in the life of our church. So, commit to your purpose as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God.
Amen. And then secondly this morning, a step that's probably difficult for all of us is command your flesh. Yeah, bring it under control. And a lot of you are shaking your head, and I'm doing this with you for me. We are called to command our flesh. And what we found interesting when it talks in this verse, really, and in 2 Timothy chapter 2 as well, that it says in these verses, we're required to be found faithful. And then Paul instructs Timothy in those verses to choose faithful men. And I don't know any other way to do that and be faithful if I don't command my flesh, if I don't control myself and my fleshly desires. It's something that we have to do all the time. And you know, we painted a picture for you about really the behind lesson of these verses about these criminals chained in the bottom of the ship. Well, why do you suppose that was? Because it was really hard work. And I bet you that they're probably, because of their conditions, I mean, it was disease-ridden and dirty and dark. I bet you a day didn't pass when they didn't want to jump ship. And is that maybe not true of all of us at some point? I'm going to give up. This is too hard. And then the Holy Spirit starts convicting me mm-hmm. and talking to me. Okay, Robin, bring yourself in order here. Command your flesh. You don't live according to your flesh. You live according to the Spirit and the Word of God. And so we do have to command our flesh. When we're tempted to jump ship, God says, nah, bring it under control, sister. Get it right, brother, and command your flesh. There's also, you know, something I think that's really important for us to remember when we're talking about commanding our flesh. By the way, when Sarah shared so wonderfully, she said this about you guys as pastors, calling us out of our comfort zone. You have to bring your flesh under control, because sometimes when you're finding God's purpose, it's not always comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so we have to bring it in line. The conditions for the men in the ship that were rowing and working hard, they were chained so they wouldn't give up, so they wouldn't jump ship and quit. And the same applies to us. Sometimes the conditions for us, maybe all the time in these last couple years, what do you think? Sometimes the conditions for us as Christ followers is not always easy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but in my history with Jesus, I can't think of any other time that's been harder to stand for him than today. It's really difficult, and you have to decide. You have to command your flesh and say, no, I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to give in to all the other things that could feed my mind. I'm going to be self-controlled and spirit-controlled. But right is not always easy, and I think about those criminals, those slaves in the ship, and we're slaves of Christ. And that's a wonderful title, by the way, mm-hmm. to be a slave of Christ. But when I think about commanding our flesh and the temptation that we deal with on a daily basis and the sin that we have to combat on a daily basis, I think about this statement. It's a powerful one. We've talked about it as we've shared so many times. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and it will always, always keep you longer than you want to stay. And so if you don't want to go there, then you have to command your flesh. You have to be a self-controlled, spirit-controlled follower of Christ in order to do that. Command your flesh. Don't give up. Bring it under control and say, I'm going to keep rowing. I'm going to keep serving. Even though I'm in a hard place right now, I'm going to be self-controlled. If you look at Deuteronomy 28, it's a very long chapter, but what I found when I was reading that previously in my Christian walk is there are a few verses about the blessings of obedience, and there are a lot of verses about the curses of disobedience. You know what that tells me? You're going to pay a big price, or you're going to move over into the blessing and obedience of the Lord, commanding your flesh, living spirit-controlled life, and fulfilling purpose, and that's what he wants us to do.
By the way, all of us have to do that every day. Yes. Even Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, had to command his flesh in the garden. When the cross was right before him, and he was like, this is going to be a tough 24 hours. And God, if it be possible, let this cup. And then he commanded his flesh and he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And I'm going to skip one of the verses for the folks up top. I'm going to move to Galatians 5:24. It's one of my favorite verses on commanding our flesh. And I remember reading this from Chuck Swindoll a couple of times over the years. He says, the problem with living sacrifices, out of Romans 12:1, when he says, let's present our bodies as living sacrifices. The problem with living sacrifices is they like to crawl off the altar. You know, we can be in church and hearing the word of God, and the Holy Spirit comes and we're moved to do something, to take a step forward, and then we get out in our car and we drive home to the same atmosphere, to the same circumstances, and it's not always that easy. But I want to tell you this. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Jesus. Is he talking about you? Is he talking about me? Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So many times, I've had to say, I know that is not God's plan and purpose for me. And God, I will do an about face right now. Everything in my flesh wants to go there, but I'm going there. Amen. And so commanding our flesh is such a critical moment of decision, because you see, Sinfulness is selfishness. It's about enthroning yourself, your desires, your needs, your plans, putting them above all else. And there's a lot of people who've prayed a sinner's prayer, but they've never surrendered their life. And I want you to know, church, a relationship with Jesus is only starting with a sinner's prayer. And I want you to know that I've served the Lord for 54 years. And I want you to know that I have to surrender daily and sometimes several times a day and say, Lord, I am yours. Not my agenda, not my way, not my desires, but yours. You see, there's a lot of people who have enough of Jesus to be informed, but not transformed. And young or old or in between, I want you to know that Jesus wants to change us. And in order to be changed, we have to command this flesh over and over again. It's all of you for all of him.
The third point this morning, and I think this is a fun one, especially in the morning that we've been given to honor Pastor Harris and Sarah and Pastor Mark and Debbie, cooperate with your team. They didn't pay us to make this point, by the way. We didn't talk ahead of time. They didn't say, if you could just add that in. They didn't do that. But seriously, cooperate with your team.
Yep.
And I think about the picture, and I can't imagine it perfectly, but I think about the picture of the criminals chained to the bottom of the ship and how hard they have to row and how many times they have to command their flesh. There wasn't just one of them working hard with the oar. You know what I mean? They all had to be working and going in the same direction, or they weren't going anywhere.
Yep.
And the same is so true for all of you here at First Church of the Open Bible in Cedar Rapids. You're not going it alone. You are a team.
Yep.
And you won't go the same direction, the vision that God has given your pastors, unless you're doing it together, unless you're cooperating together.
Yep.
And it's an awesome thing when it happens. Actually, I think both your pastor teams would say, that would be the best pastor appreciation ever. Mm-hmm. If everybody just get on board and get rowing and do it together and do it in sync, what a gift
Yes. You
give your leaders. What a gift you would give your leaders. So it takes a team, it takes a staff, it takes a crew. The bottom of the boat, it wasn't attractive at all, and it certainly was not comfortable. And there are seasons like that. There are seasons like that for your leaders, and they're shaking their head. It's not always easy. We've pastored. It is not always easy. But if all of you are behind them and cooperating as a team, wow.
Yay.
Wow. There is nothing that God can't do in and through you. And Cedar Rapids, Iowa, needs Jesus. Needs the power of the Lord to transform hearts. Need sick bodies to be healed. Need prisoners to be set free. We sang about all of it this morning. But you can be the avenue, but you got to be working together. You got to cooperate with the team. You belong to a team. No one is an island here. And I just want you to take one moment and just look around. Look at how good looking your team is. Look around a little bit. You are all in this together. You are such a good-looking team. And when the power of the Holy Spirit is over you and you're rowing in the same direction, you are powerful in Christ.
Yep.
So cooperate with the team. Cooperate with the team. This verse, I think, if there's one that I could highlight that talks about cooperation and talks about teamwork, this would be my fave. It's Philippians 2:2-4. Complete my joy. I think Pastor Harris and Pastor Mark would say that. Complete my joy here by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Here's a hard one. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Mm-hmm. Cooperate with the team.
You know, the church has a purpose. We, first of all, minister to the Lord. We did that in our worship today. We lifted his name up. We also, in our gathering, are to minister to one another. You have all the one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, pray for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens. That call to minister to one another. So as we're coming and gathering, it's not just for what am I going to receive? It's what am I going to share? How am I going to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ? But then we're also leaving this place today to minister to lost people and to connect with them. I want to say this to you. Cooperating with your team ought to be joyful work. Joyful work. I'm a joyful guy. I like to enjoy life, okay? And God's given me a good woman. Because some days aren't so joyful. I'm not talking about with her. They're always good with her, okay? But sometimes we have to deal with messes. I've been dealing with one recently. Pastor Harris is coaching one of our pastors who's been walking through a very difficult moment. And I know you've been a good encouragement to our brother. But I want to say this to you. My wife has said to me, and I smiled most of the days when I pastored, but when we came to the regional office, my wife will say to me some days, "Babe, are you doing okay?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, I'm doing okay." And she'll say, "Tell your face." Tell your face. Because you don't look so happy. Don't look like it's a joyful journey. And so I want to say to you, the work that we're involved with is the most fulfilling work on the face of this planet. Amen. The gospel, good news. It brings joy to a life. Hey, there's joy in the house of the Lord, isn't there? Amen. And when the house gets out there in the highways and byways, the joy gets out there on the streets. I say we ought to be a magnetic witness for Christ so people say, "Why are you so happy?" Oh, let me tell you. So ministry is really a joyful work. It's also teamwork. It's everyone working together. And I want to say this. When you get in the game, get all in. I taught this to our churches that we served because I know how the enemy likes to bring about chaos and confusion. He's the author of it. God brings order, and the devil brings confusion. So, when we started pastoring, you guys probably remember this, the preacher sat on the platform. I hated that. I was so thankful when they let me sit on the front row. Because sometimes in worship, I'd look out and I'd be like, "What a bunch of folk. Can't wait to get up and preach."
Not you guys. No, not you guys.
I've studied all week and, oh, this is so motivating. You know? But what I will say to you is when we worship, let's all worship. I've been in worship services where I hear mumbling over here and scrapping over here, and I'm like, I thought we were in a worship service. I remember as a little boy one time, our home pastor was preaching, our family always sat on this side, and I heard somebody over here clipping their nails in the middle of worship. Hey, when we're in, we're all in, okay? So when we say we're going to pray, let's all pray. When we say we're going to work, let's all work. When we're going to play like yesterday, let's all play. You know, that's cooperating with the team. I love Mark Batterson. He's one of my favorite authors. In his book, All In, he says this: it's time to go all in and all out for the all in all. Get in the game. Go all in, go all out for the all in all. We take our place on the rower's bench. I think we have a picture to put up right there. Robin and I happened to go to a leadership training in Hawaii. You know, it's what you always dream of. Yes, Lord, we'll go.
That is not us.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Not us. Now,
we would have been one of those pictures like they showed you of Harris and Sarah and Mark and Debbie.
Yeah.
With our nose smashed. Or
oh, yeah.
That is not us.
Yeah, we were a messy group. But we all got in boats just like that, and we had races, pastors from all over the world. And we're like, I didn't know this was included in the seminar, you know? And here we are out there, and they're trying to give us a few instructions, and everybody looks like deer in the headlights. But we're going to demonstrate this for you today. How's that? Because I want you to know, rowing is a powerful sport, and it requires the cooperation of everybody on the team.
That's right.
So, Pastor Harris, come here. Now, I'm gonna stand you up right in front of this beautiful thing, and you're gonna face this way. Now, they put the leader, or they call it the coxswain, but I didn't think you'd like to be called that. So what my interpreter is that it's the coach in the boat. And they actually seat him at the stern, which is the rear of the boat. And the front of the boat is the front porch of the church. So that's where we're going. Okay, Sarah, come here. And the Lord positions you right to face your hubby, because you got to give him some power to keep going. And he just takes one look at you and he says,
I can do it.
I can do it. Mark and Debbie, come. So God brought Mark and Debbie in the middle of the pandemic here. Matter of fact, I remember the day Harris called me and he said, hey, I'd like to ask you a question about one of the applicants for our associate pastor. His name is Mark Cullum. I said, I need you to know he's related. Okay? So Mark and Debbie, why don't you stand and kind of split yourself on either side of Sarah. So you'll face Harris, and you're both going to have an oar. And then I want those of you that were at the Pella retreat, or if you weren't at the retreat but you were supposed to be, I want you to come and get in the middle aisle. Okay? Come on. John and Shirley, come on. You were here. Get right up here. Come on. Come on. Get right in here. Yep. Yep. They're coming. Beautiful, beautiful. Get right up here. There we go. There's your sweetie. All right. All right. We're just doing well here. We're getting everybody an oar. We're getting everybody lined up. We're getting the boat full. We have oars on either side for all of you. Okay? All right. Good. Beautiful. Here comes some more. All right. We got a lot of oars here. Oh, isn't this a beautiful thing? Okay? And then I just want to ask, not everybody's going to fit in the boat right now, so don't be like, you know, oh, they didn't pick me. This is a picture for you. So I'd like some of you to just begin to fill in the aisle all the way back to the door, okay? Just fill in. Some of you are right here in the aisle. It's easy. You can just hop out. Beautiful thing, all right? We're going to get everybody here. And so really, this is the way that boat thing works is pastor, your coach in the boat, is giving instructions. And this was really hard for me, because my wife was on one side rowing and I was on the other side. And they'd be saying the left a little harder. And I'd be like, am I left or right? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility to have an oar and to try to figure it out. Yes, yes, some more. Yeah, we got to get it filled up. The boat's got to get full. There we go, folks. You're doing a great job. Harris is just coaching him right along the way. Yes. Hallelujah. Hey, if we have to bolt those, open those doors, loose those doors, loose, enlarge the boat. All right. Enlarge the boat. There we go. Keep people lining up all the way out to the main doors. Well, we should have had a whistle up here, I guess, Deb, you know. Okay, so you know, the coach in the boat would say left a little harder, and so the left would row a little harder, and the right would kind of row a little lighter. And that's allowing Pastor Harris to control the direction and the speed of the boat. So he's hollering out these instructions and encouraging people. Now you can say, why didn't he oar? Well, because he's giving the instructions, okay? He's got to keep an eye on the whole thing. And then if this guy gets a little weary, Mark can quick slip up here, and he can be giving you instructions and encouragement to keep this thing going. So I want you to, let's all stand together, shall we? And I want us to pray. God, you've given us a picture here this morning. Yes. Lord, this is an alignment thing. Some churches get it. Some only long for it. Lord, I thank you that you have given First Church of the Open Bible in Cedar Rapids a purpose. May they be firmly committed to their purposes. Why they exist. The direction they are going. Father, I pray that there will be no argument about that. And then, Father, I pray that all of us would command our flesh, because there will be times that we say, oh, this rowing thing, that's for girls. Or that's for slaves. Lord, I want to admit to you today that you've called us to this thing. And so I pray, Lord, that we will submit ourselves to being used of you mightily. And then, Father, I pray that there will be a fresh spirit of cooperation from the back of the boat where the coach is to the very front of the boat. And I pray, Lord, that this ship would move forward with stealth and energy and power, not of their own, but of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for fresh anointing on Pastor Harris and Sarah. Fresh anointing on Pastor Mark and Debbie. And then, Lord, from them to throughout the rest of the vessel, may there be a flow and an alignment that says, yes, we are in. Matter of fact, God, we're affirming today we are all in. And we will do that for your glory until you come. Man the oars. We say yes. Get in the game. We say yes. Matter of fact, Lord, we're not just in the game. We're all in the game. So give us your strength. Give us your wisdom in these days to come. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Yeah.
While you're here.
Yeah.
I want to try something before you go. I'll grab this one. Thank you. I got Rick's mic. Okay.
I want us to try something while you're here, because we have you, right? And it's Pastor's Day, so you have to try something. So, I need you to cooperate, please. Pastor Mark just said that. Got my back. I'm going to ask you to do something. We're not going to necessarily oar, but we're going to raise our hands at the right time. So when I say left hand, I realize that's my right, so I'm going to have to really work on this. Left hand, right hand, I want you to lift and then lift and then lift. I just, when you were doing this and you were praying, I just pictured, you know, faith without works is dead. And sometimes we need to apply what we're actually learning. And then although it may seem silly at the time, I'll close my eyes so I can remember what God was saying. I think there's a representation of if we do this together right now, we're physically obeying what our spirit is hearing. And if we do that, I think there's going to be a break in the atmosphere. I believe that there's going to be something that's going to solidify us as a body of Christ. And so it might seem weird. Trust me, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do whatever God wants. And so when I say left, even in the crowd right here, I want you to lift your left hand. Right, left, right. Okay, so I'm going to do it here in just a second.
Ready? Left. Right. Left. Right.
Left.
Left. Left.
Right. Left. Right. Left.
Both.
If you would, let's take a seat. We've got just a couple more things to do, and we'll be out of here. Let's give Pastor Bruce and Robin another big hand.